to them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, and grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who was by the apostles, was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land sold it, brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to meet with us around His Word tonight. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your goodness to us. Thank You, Father, for the opportunity, Lord, the freedom, the privilege even, Lord, that we have, God, to gather together with like-minded believers, Lord, in this country. And Lord, we can worship You freely tonight. And Father, we're thankful for that. Lord, I am thankful, God, for the songs that were sung tonight. Lord, the thought-provoking things that we heard. And Father, I pray, Lord, that You would help us, Lord, to be mindful, God, of our service for You, Lord, our lives for You. And Father, we thank You, Lord, for the testimonies, Lord, that were given. God, we thank You, Lord, for this family that's here with us tonight, this couple, these missionaries. We pray, Father, that You would lay Your hand upon them, and Lord, that You'd bless them. God, I pray, Lord, that You'd give them their support, help them, Lord, to reach Spain with the gospel, the Lord, to plant churches. Father, we thank You, Lord, for those that are willing, God, to say yes to the call of God upon their life tonight. Father, I pray, Lord, that You'd help us, Lord, as we preach tonight. God, You know exactly where we are, where we stand. God, we are a needy people. And Father, I need Your touch and I need Your help tonight. Lord, You know the things that are on our heart. Lord, I pray, God, that You'd help us to be clear. Lord, I pray most of all, Lord, that You would speak. God, that the hearer wouldn't hear me, but Lord, that they would hear You. And God, that You would help our hearts tonight. Lord, we love You. We thank You so much for loving us, giving Yourself for us, and Lord, allowing us to live for You. God, a great privilege that it is. We thank You for it. We ask these things tonight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Here in the book of Acts, the opening chapters of the early part of church history, we find that there are several things that we want to point out just by way of introduction here in Acts chapter number 4. Notice with me in verse number 31, the Bible said, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common." As we begin and look in these verses, we find first of all that there is great unity here within the early church. They were gathered together. They had prayed. They had met together. And the Bible talks about them being of one heart and of one soul. And no man really was a possessor of that which we had, but all of the individuals in the church said and testified that they had all things in common. And there was great unity in the early church. And I'm going to tell you what, there's nothing that'll tear up a church worse than a lack of unity tonight. Amen. And thank God here at our church and many churches that we've been to and other churches that we're able to fellowship, there is a great spirit of unity in the house of God and a great spirit of unity within the congregation. It was David who said in Psalms 133, he said, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity." Amen. Not a bunch of fussing and fighting, not a bunch of schisms, not a bunch of division, but people that are of one heart and one mind and seek the glory of God. We see there's great unity in them. The Bible talks about great power in verse number 33. The Bible said, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus." And so the early church is not only effective because of their unity, but then there is great power that God has bestowed upon them tonight. And we know this, that we need the power of God and we need the touch of God. Listen, everything that we're doing tonight, it's all in vain and it's all just mechanics without the touch of God upon it. And so thank God, God had blessed the early church with His power tonight. And then there was great favor there in verse number 33 again. The Bible said, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. You have to understand that these individuals have been persecuted. Jesus Christ has died on the cross of Calvary. Thank God that He is alive forevermore. But we're dealing tonight with people that have given up everything in their life. They have detached themselves from many members of their family. They have detached themselves from their career choice. They have detached themselves from the status quo and the normal life that they were living. And because of their commitment to Christ, nothing was to ever be the same in their life. But God looked down upon them and He saw their sacrifices and He saw the decisions and the choices that He made, and He gave them great grace to make it through it all tonight. Amen. We find that there's not only great unity, great power, great favor, but then there's great giving in verse number 34. The Bible says, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. They were literally willing to give all that they had for the cause of Christ and the furtherance of the gospel. And then I want to profile one individual here tonight by the name of Barnabas. We find in verse number 35 that there is great surrender concerning the apostles in the early church. The Bible said, and they laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus. Having land, he sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Here this man is. We're not exactly how sure Barnabas is. It's believed that he's somewhere around middle age. He's reached his maturity in life, and here he is. He's part of the early church, and he sees the apostles, and he sees the members of the early church. They take their houses and their lands and their possessions, and they sell everything that they have and they give it. And may I say this tonight, is as we read this chapter, we're tempted to say, man, they're kind of being fanatical tonight. They're giving everything that they have tonight for the fervence of the gospel and for the honor and the glory of God. But thank God, here was a man who didn't stand off on the sideline and say, man, they're a bunch of fanatics. I can't believe they're doing that. Look at what they could have done with it. Look at how they could have prospered with it. But he follows the example of the early church, and he throws his lot in with them. And thank God, listen, he comes and he sells his land, and he takes the money and he lays it down at the apostles' feet. What a great example we have concerning this man named Barnabas in the Word of God. There's some notable characters in the New Testament, like the Apostle Paul, and of course we'll make mention of him here in just a little bit. And then of course Peter, that man who walked and slept and lived with the Lord Jesus Christ for 3.5 years. But I want to talk about Barnabas tonight. Amen. And the Bible begins with a great story of surrender in his life and great sacrifice as he begins to go deeper with God and have a greater fellowship with the Lord and follow the Lord at a greater level of commitment, no doubt, than he ever has before. Amen. I want to simply preach on this thought tonight, and I think we can take it and apply it to our lives tonight. I want to talk to you tonight about being a Barnabas. Amen. Being a Barnabas, taking the example that we have in the Word of God concerning this man, trying to apply it to our heart and life and put it in a shoe leather. After all, that's what the Word of God's for tonight. Amen. The Scripture has been given for our example and for our admonition. And the Bible says tonight that we're not just to be hearers of the Word of God, but we are to be doers tonight. Amen. And so would the Lord help us with that this evening. Think about Barnabas tonight. When we consider being a Barnabas, number one, I think about his character tonight. Notice what the Word of God says in verse number 36. The Bible says, "And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus." I want you to think about Barnabas and his character tonight. Here this man is. And he is a possessor of land. And apparently this land would have some good value. He comes, he sells the land, and he lays it down at the apostles' feet. But here's what the Word of God says about Barnabas tonight. What is his lineage? What is his heritage? In verse number 36, we find out that Barnabas is a Levite. Now, if you go back to the Old Testament and you study the inheritance that God gave the children of Israel, they were separated by tribe, and particularly for the Levites, it was not only separated because of their tribe, but it was separated out because of their service. Amen. As the different tribes got different possessions of the camp, and later on in the millennial reign, they'll actually get different possessions of the literal promised land that is to come. We think about the Levites tonight. Amen. The Levites didn't get land. That wasn't their inheritance. As a matter of fact, their inheritance was the Lord. Amen. And they were to have no earthly possessions. They were not to be nailed down to anything in this world, because the forefront of their mind and heart was to be on the service of God tonight. Amen. But notice concerning Barnabas and his character, I see some corruption in his character tonight. Here this man is. He is a Levite, and the apple is falling far from the tree. He's got his tent bags dug down way deep. He's got some possession in this world. But I'm glad tonight that we not only see the corruption, but we see the correction tonight. Amen. Here he is being a Levite. He takes the land and he takes the possessions and he sells it tonight and he lays it at the apostles' feet tonight. Amen. Now I understand tonight. Let me apply it this way. I understand that we live in this world. I understand that we have to make money. I understand that we have to have possessions. I understand that we have to eat and we have to drink and we have to live and we have to have a livelihood in this world. Oh, but listen to me. It would serve as a matter of corruption if we allowed the possessions that we have and we allowed the life that we lived and we allowed the career choice that we have and we allowed the possessions in this life to rob us of our service for God. Amen. We see the corruption and then we see the correction. He was a Levite. He was to have no connection to anything temporal tonight. Amen. We see the corruption, we see the correction, but then notice the commendation tonight. The Bible is clear to tell us in verse number 36, this man by the name of Joseph, he was named by the apostles. He was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation. I want to say more about this later on, but here's what this name means. If we look at the Greek text tonight, the Bible calls him the son of consolation. That word consolation, the Holy Ghost chose the same word that he himself was signified by in the Greek tonight. Amen. That word consolation is the word paraklesis, or the paraclete. That is a word that is designated to the Spirit of God tonight. And what the paraclete is the one that comes alongside to help. He literally is the one that consoles tonight. Amen. He is the one that comes alongside to help and comes alongside to prop up tonight. Amen. Paul talked about the Spirit of God in the book of Romans, when with those groanings that cannot be uttered, when we don't know what to say and we don't know how to talk to God tonight, thank God there is a helper. The Spirit of God comes alongside and says, God, I know he's crying. I know his heart's tore up and I know he doesn't know what to say, but God, here's what he means. Here's what he's talking about. Here's how he feels. And God, you know what that's like. Jesus, you have been forsaken. You know what it is to have a broken heart. You know what it is to feel disconnected from the Father. And so I'm going to talk for him and tell you what he means tonight. Thank God for that helper. Thank God for that comforter tonight. Thank God for that one that comes alongside to help us in our walk with God tonight. Amen. That was the commendation that the early church gave him. He no doubt was a spiritual man. And the spiritual man was shown by his sacrifice and his willingness to give for the furtherance of the gospel and to give for the work of the church tonight. Amen. We see his character. But then I think about his country tonight. Amen. The Bible talks about, at the latter part of verse number 36, he is the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus. Amen. If you study out Cyprus during the time of the early church, it literally was an earthly metropolis tonight. Amen. It was a place of great wealth. We often think about New York City as the melting pot of America. As the immigrants came over on Ellis Island, many of them stayed there, and all of those cultures were blended together. It was a melting pot of America, and Cyprus was a melting pot of the early ancient world. There were great olive oil that was given there. There were great figs. There was great wheat fields and great vineyards. But here this man is. He leaves all of this and he comes because of his commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only does he come and leave that place, he comes and he apparently has possessions here and he gives those things up. Amen. He just continues to give and continues to give and continues to give to the work of God. Amen. Listen to me tonight. I know that we get tired sometimes, and we get weary even on a Wednesday night, and we feel like we can't do anymore. Amen. All of the pistons are going, all the gears are turning, and we feel like we can't go on any further. But thank God for the grace of God tonight. When you felt like you couldn't go on, God helped you to give a little more. When you felt like you were on your last leg, God's helped you to keep on standing. And you look around and you feel like you've given up some much, and you feel like you missed opportunities in life, and the devil will whisper to you about those things. Honey, I'm glad to tell you tonight, there's not one thing I've ever given up for the honor and glory of God that I missed tonight. Amen. There were old friends and old acquaintances and old jobs and old possessions, not because we're anything tonight, but the will of God said go, and by the grace of God we were able to go. And I'm telling you, the Lord's allowed us to live some pretty good places, traveling from state to state, Brother Sam. Thank God the men that have given us opportunity. It's just the grace of God tonight. And I'm telling you, this is the greatest life that anyone could ever live. A life lived for the honor and the glory of God tonight. Amen. You've not given anything up tonight, but you've gained a whole lot. Amen. Entering into the service of the Lord. Amen. I've got no sad stories to tell. I've got no time to bellyache tonight. God's been better to me than what I've ever deserved. God passed by my way and saved me as a 14-year-old boy. Thank God changed me for time and eternity. Called me to preach at 20 years old. Gave me a good wife. Gave me precious children. Put me in a good church. Let me know some of the best people at this side of heaven tonight. Hey, God has been good to us tonight. Amen. If you ain't going to shout, I'm going to shout for you. Amen. God has been good to us tonight. Amen. There's nothing that we've given up, amen, that amounts to the blessings and the wonder and the grace that God has bestowed upon our life tonight, amen. I see his character, and then I see his country, but then notice his commitment tonight. The Bible says in verse number 37, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet tonight. Amen. It becomes apparent to us that Barnabas is not only a spiritual man, but Barnabas is a surrendered man tonight. Amen. We see the goodness that marks his life, the compassion. If you look in Acts chapter number 11, you don't have to go over there, but Barnabas proves to be a stalwart. He proves to be an anchor in the early church, and it was Barnabas who sought after Saul tonight. Amen. The early church is scared to death of him. He's wreaked havoc on the early church. He's threw Christians into prison, but thank God Jesus showed up on the road to Damascus. Amen. Changed him, hallelujah, gave him a new nature, gave him a new name, hallelujah. And the early church was scared to death to touch him, and they wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole tonight. But it was Barnabas tonight who looked and he saw Saul of Tarsus, amen, and he sought him out tonight, amen. I'm reminded of the disagreement later on that Barnabas and Paul had concerning young John Mark. John couldn't handle the pressure. Something got to him some way or somehow, and John Mark deserted on the missionary trail. Paul said, forget about it. The ministry is too great. The sacrifice is too great. We need people to go on for the glory of God. And Paul tonight was concerned about the ministry. And listen to me, that's important tonight. We ought to be concerned about the work of God. Listen, we ought to place a premium and we ought to place an importance on the ministry tonight. Amen. But when you think about Barnabas tonight, Barnabas, it doesn't mean that he wasn't concerned about the ministry. But I tell you what had Barnabas' heart tonight. It wasn't necessarily the ministry, but what had Barnabas' heart was men tonight. Amen. Barnabas wanted to give John a second chance. Barnabas wanted to go to bat for John Mark. And Paul said, I can't do it. The Bible talks about the division and the contention being so sharp between those two men that they divided. He said, what was the good thing that came out of that? I suppose the only good thing that came out of that tonight is instead of two missionaries, you had four. Amen? God providentially used that tonight. But Barnabas was a man who had people at his heart tonight. Amen? And if there's anything that we can learn from Barnabas, it's this. That the ministry really is about people. One preacher, I heard him joke around, and I'm sure you've heard this too, several have said, the ministry would be wonderful if it were not for people. But understand tonight that the ministry is people. Amen. Listen, when Jesus began, Jesus called men to himself, regular men who were fishermen and tax collectors and those that were kindly despised in their social status. Jesus called those kinds of individuals to himself. And listen, Jesus was a man who was after men. Jesus then took those men and he trained them and he encouraged them to become fishers of men tonight. May we never forget that the ministry is about people. Amen. That those that are lost and dying, those that are perishing tonight, it is those upon the heart of God that God desires for us to seek out and to seek after tonight. Amen. After all, the Lord Jesus said, he said, I came not to save them that are whole. A physician doesn't heal them that are whole, but the physician goes after them that are sick tonight. Amen. And so we think about his goodness. We think about the compassion in his life. May God help us to have compassion upon those that are lost. May we not look down our spiritual nose and look down our sanctified nose at those who do not have the Lord. But may we be brokenhearted and may we be burdened for them. And may we say, there go I, but for the grace of God tonight. Amen. We see his goodness and we think about his compassion. We think about where the Bible talks about him being full of the Holy Ghost. And that reminds us not only of his compassion, but that reminds us of his competence tonight. The early church had great confidence in Barnabas. They were able to lay hands upon this man and commission this man to go out because he was competent. Understand, you don't have to be the smartest tonight. You don't have to be the most well equipped, but it would help you tonight if you're competent. Amen. If you've got a little bit of discernment tonight. Amen. And I'm glad where we have faults and where we have failures, the Holy Ghost will help us. The Holy Ghost can correct us. The Holy Ghost can tell us when and where to go concerning God's desire and God's will for our life. And as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, God will give us wisdom and God will give us discernment. And we ought to pray for that. We ought to desire that tonight, amen, that God would give us discernment tonight. mind, amen, to know His will and to be full of the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. Paul wrote to the Ephesian church that they would not be ignorant, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You ever had any questions in your heart and mind about the will of God? Can I assure you of this tonight, that God is not dangling the will of God before you like a cat with a toy, seeing if you can reach it, seeing if you can get it, seeing if you can jump through the hoops and stand on your head in order to find the will of God. No, listen to me. If we'll pray and we'll read the Word of God and we'll seek the face of God, the will of God can become plain to us tonight. Amen. You say, well, what about the mysterious things of the will of God? What about the things that I don't know and the things that I don't understand? Don't worry about those things. Just be concerned about what you know to be the will of God. I don't have to pray about praying. Amen. I don't have to pray about being a witness. Right. I don't have to pray about reading my Bible tonight. Amen. I don't have to pray about coming to church. I don't have to pray about being thankful. He said, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus, that we would be thankful in all things tonight. I don't have to pray about that. And if you'll do the revealed will of God, then the revealed will of God will become manifest in your life by walking in the light that you have tonight. We see the goodness, His compassion. We see that He's full of the Holy Ghost. He's competent. But He's not only full of the Holy Ghost, He's full of faith. There is some compulsion in this man's life tonight. He is willing to step out on faith and follow the direction of God tonight. Amen. Sometimes the will of God scares us to death. I remember being a young Christian, first getting saved, and the Lord called me to preach, and you know, I was scared to death the Lord was going to send me to China or something like that. But you know what I had to do? I had to get to the place and say, Lord, if you want me to go to China, I'll go to China. If you want me to go to Europe, I'll go to Europe. Wherever you want me to go, Lord, here's a blank sheet of paper. I'm signing my name at the bottom, and you fill in the details tonight. Amen. Would you say yes to the will of God? Would you say yes to the direction of God in your life tonight? What does God promise us as we seek to follow Him? He promises provision tonight. Amen. Where God guides, God provides. We know those things tonight. But it's much more comforting when it becomes a reality in our life. When you step out or you're obedient to the Lord and you're holding on for dear life saying, Lord, please don't help me not to mess this up. And then God comes through. What a blessing that is. His provision, not only His provision, His protection in the will of God. And then, of course, there is progress in the will of God. Are you doing the will of God now for your life right now? Are you in the will of God? Are you doing the revealed will of God that you know those things we talked about tonight, the prayer, the reading the Scripture, the witnessing to others? Are we doing those things that we know that are revealed to us? And if you'll do those things tonight, then I promise you that the revealed will of God will become manifest in your life. The Bible says again in verse number 37, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. I'm glad Barnabas didn't look at that house and look at that land and look at those possessions and say, you know, I really can't live without this. Sometimes the devil will tell us that tonight. Well, you can't get rid of that. You can't let that go. Think about how much money you've spent on that. Think about how much time you've invested in this. Think about all of the things that pertain to this. Think about that tonight. Think about what you've got invested. But what about your investment in eternal things tonight? One man said this. He said, if you have anything that you cannot live without, give it away. If you have anything tonight that you cannot live without, just give it away tonight. Now the principle tonight is not that you need to go sell your house and sell your car and become homeless and give everything you've got to the work of God. That's not the principle that we're trying to convey in the Word of God tonight. But the principle tonight is that you would be willing to give the entirety of yourself. And tonight, if God says come, are you willing to go? If God says go, are you willing to tonight? We think about the mission field. We think about those big things tonight. But what about that coworker that God wants you to witness to? What about that family member tonight? Amen. What about those in need tonight that you have the means and you have the ability to be a blessing and a help to them, and God has spoken to you about that tonight, but yet you find yourself hesitant? Just let that go tonight. Whatever it is that you're holding on to that is keeping you from doing the will of God tonight, just give that away. Just let that go. Surrender so sweet tonight. Just saying yes to Jesus, saying yes to the will of God. I'll say again, we think about those big things, about going across the ocean and doing this and that. What about that track rack out there? Just being a witness. You say, well, I don't know all the scriptures. I don't know all the Word of God. I'm not a walking by. Hey, friend, can I pull you aside and just tell you what Jesus means to me? Can I just pull you aside and tell you what God did for me one day? And if they look at you like you've got three heads, then so be it. You obeyed the command to give somebody the gospel tonight. And your hands are clean tonight. Amen. What a wonderful thing it is to walk in obedience to Him and to live a surrendered life. Would you be a Barnabas tonight? Let's stand together.